it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Greg Cosell, NFL Films. We got a lot to talk about. Hey, Greg, how you doing?
I'm just trying to figure out if I can play wide receiver for the Niners tomorrow night, you know?
Well, can you?
Well, you know, maybe a few years ago, but unfortunately not today.
I've heard you can shoot. I don't know if you can catch, though.
Well, you know, there was a time, but that was many, many years ago. That was like circa early to mid-70s.
Brutal set of injuries, which is what you're referring to. But let's look backward before we go forward. Greg, what did you see with Brock Purdy last week in what was clearly not a great performance for him?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to be honest with you guys, and I know you got to do this because you're on the radio every day, but the week-to-week stuff with Brock Purdy is a little kind of gets a little silly to me because I almost feel like people talk about Brock Purdy as if, well, he's not really that good, so if he has a good game, yeah, let's wait and see then what he's going to do next week. I mean, Brock Purdy's their starting quarterback. He's a good player. I mean, I think if you pretty much talk to almost anybody, they'll tell you he's a good player. Was he as sharp as he normally is in this game and he had just come back and we have no idea how the injuries affected him? He wasn't as sharp as he normally is working between the numbers. There were throws he was a little wild high. I don't know if that's a function of his toe, his shoulder. I can't speak to that. You know, to me, the much larger issue for this team, and almost every quarterback in the league is like this, they need a running game. They cannot run the football. There's no sustainability. There's no consistency. They're one of the worst rushing teams in the league right now. McCaffrey is, I think, at the bottom of the league in terms of yards before first contact. He's not getting past the first level of the defense. His first contact on average is 1.47 yards. Think about that. Okay, so their run game is what the main issue is right now, because Purdy, as I said, almost every quarterback is, with very few exceptions, is a ball distributor and an executor of a well-schemed offense. And if the offense can't run the football, it puts him in a really difficult spot.
And I'm thinking about the ETN run where they executed it perfectly. They got to that second level, took the safeties out of it. Is that what the Niners are lacking right now, Greg? The ability to beat the defensive lineman and get to that second level and seal off a lane for McCaffrey?
Yeah, they can't get him to the second level with any consistency at all. And even if he does manage to just get through that first level, it's not really clean. He's sort of, you know, fighting through to do that. So he's not able to reaccelerate, which is a strength of his game, the ability to reaccelerate in traffic, and he's not able to do that. But to me, that is the bigger issue. You know how it is, guys, and you deal with this every day. You're on the radio every day. All people want to talk about, I get into this conversation every week with Colin Cowherd. All people ever want to talk about is the quarterback.
Yep.
He's not the only player on the field. And, you know, I think we get caught up in analyzing the quarterback every single week as if he's the only player that matters. And in this particular case, Purdy is very good at what he is, okay? But if there's no fully formed, fully dimensional offense, he won't play as well as he can play. It's just it's a simple statement. And, you know, so everybody wants to say, well, that's Brock Purdy's fault. No, it's not Brock Purdy's fault.
Greg Cosell, NFL Films, with us on the River Islands guest line as he is every week at this time here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game, one of our favorite segments of the entire week. So, Greg, I agree with you. Let's talk about that run game, what some of the characteristics are of their struggles that you see, and what you think needs to sort of change there. What's the fix? Is it expanding the passing game to keep a defense honest? Does the O-line need to play better? I'm sure it's a lot of all those things, but what are you really focused on?
I mean, as you guys know, when you're struggling in an area, it's never one thing. Like, you can't just say, oh, it's this guy. And I'm certainly not Chris Forster, who certainly knows a lot more about O-line play than I do. So I don't want to sit here and say, well, this guy's not playing well, because I don't know that for a fact. And obviously, I'm not charting every single snap and all five offensive linemen. All I can tell you is, as a group, there's not really first-level gaps for McCaffrey to run through. They're not there. So they're trying to run multiple kinds of runs. They're running inside. They're trying to get him on the perimeter. I mean, they're clearly searching for the run game for ways to get McCaffrey out on, you know, get him some space. But right now, there's not a lot of space, and it's just a really hard deal. So they're caught up in a lot of longer yardage situations. They're not staying ahead of the chains. And that also makes it harder for Kyle Shanahan or any coordinator to call plays, because contrary to what people might think, every situation has a core group of plays. In other words, when it's third and six, the quarterback knows he's going to get one of six concepts. He's not getting one of 40 concepts. He's getting one of six concepts. That's the way it is on almost every down and distance. So it just makes it harder to really call plays and feel comfortable about it if you're behind the chains.
Especially now that you're going to a backup quarterback. And I just want to ask you, Greg, what you've seen on the film. Two games of Brock Purdy, he won't play. Two games of Mac Jones. What have you seen from Mac that the Niners can maybe lean on tomorrow night?
Yeah, and I think in some ways he's similar. I mean, you know, obviously when they beat, I guess it was New Orleans, which has proven not to be a very good team up to this point, still an NFL team, though, and you got to beat who's on your schedule. You know, I thought he made some good throws in that game. We talked about the Jennings touchdown that I guess was the sort of sealed the victory, which was a really good play by Mac Jones in terms of reading the defense as a change from one look to another look. But Mac Jones in some ways is very similar stylistically to Brock Purdy. You know, they're going to need to be able to run. And if they can't, it just becomes harder. It's just, you know, I'll give you an example. I think everybody would say correctly that Josh Allen is one of the two or three best quarterbacks in football. Yep. Do you know that the Bills lead the NFL in rushing attempts and in rushing yards? Okay. Now, but people would obviously say, oh, man, Josh Allen. I've had this conversation with people who still think that, oh, if Josh Allen isn't Superman, they can't win. Well, meanwhile, they run the ball more and better than any team in the league. And last year, they had a run-pass ratio where they had more runs than passes. So, you know, it's just the reality of the NFL that the way teams are playing defense, too, is it's harder to create explosive plays in the pass game. We did a study for the Matchup Show where over the last 2-3 years, which maybe is a trend, 2-3 years one could say is a trend, there's been fewer and fewer 20-plus yard completions each and every year going back 2-3 years. The game is, you know, I don't want to say it's changing. Obviously, all offensive coaches want big plays and explosive plays, but the run game seems to be becoming increasingly more important in the way the game is being played because of the way defenses are structured. And you've got to be able to run the football to some degree.
Greg, I'm glad that you're talking defense. I'd like to ask you about the 49er defense, because to my untrained eye, the biggest issue that scared me last week was the inability for the 49ers to generate any sort of a pass rush. No sacks, no QB hits, and this is obviously coinciding with Nick Bosa going out. So how would you describe the difference in the way that pass rush looked without him there?
Well, the bottom line is they were unable to generate any consistent pressure on Lawrence, which is a shame because Lawrence really struggles when there are people around him. Because Lawrence is, you know, he's one of those mid-range quarterbacks who needs everything to work right. You get people around him, he struggles a lot. But, you know, they decided really not to rush the quarterback in terms of pressure. Like in the first half, Lawrence had 20 dropbacks. The 49ers only rushed 5 on 2 of those 20 dropbacks. So they decided to sort of stay with, you know, what Robert Saleh's approach is. I know that's been a bone of contention through the last couple of years with another coordinator who didn't want to rush the quarterback and didn't want to blitz. But that's the way they chose to play, and they weren't able to generate any pressure whatsoever. Now, I've been told over the years by coaches, people a lot smarter than I am, that if you can't get there with 4, you got to add a 5th guy, because at some point you got to impact the quarterback. If you can't impact the quarterback, you could be great on the back end. And obviously they were missing Green last week, so they played Luter. You know, if you can't impact the quarterback in any way, most quarterbacks in this league will probably find a way to complete passes.
He completed passes, but for only 174 yards.
I know.
And, you know, honestly, the defense really only gave up 19 points. It was a special teams gaffe that cost him. So will the bend but don't break approach work against Matthew Stafford tomorrow night, or do they have to try something else, in your opinion?
Well, you got to get people around Matthew Stafford. You know Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford may be the most respected quarterback in the league, believe it or not, by coaches, which is not the same as saying he's the best. You can get into that conversation. I don't get into best, you know, second best. I don't do that. But he is a big-time NFL quarterback, maybe on his way to the Hall of Fame. And when he has time to throw the football, he is phenomenal. And number one, he's an aggressive thrower, so he's going to make throws. Now, every once in a while, he'll throw a pick because, hey, he's an aggressive thrower. But he can make throws, and he makes big-time throws. So you better find a way to get people around him and make him feel like he has to speed up a little bit. Hey, sure, sacks are great, and you'd love to get them. But you're trying to impact the quarterback. You're trying to make him play faster mentally because then in a sense, you want him to play faster mentally and physically, you know, because Stafford's seen everything, so you're not necessarily going to slow him down mentally, but you just want him to play faster physically. And if you can't do that, it's going to be tough.
Greg Cosell, NFL Films, is with us. Yeah, Greg, like, I mean, this is kind of the way I look at tomorrow's game. I know everyone will focus on a backup QB and a bunch of backup wide receivers.
Yeah.
But correct me if I'm wrong. Kind of what you were just talking about. Both sides of the ball, the trenches play really favors the Rams right now based on the way that both teams have been playing. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah, I mean, this is a game where the O-line for the Niners really has to play well, because this group up front, as you guys know, they're in your division, so I'm not telling you guys anything you don't know, but just so fans understand, this group up front of Verson Young on the outside and Fisk and Turner inside, I mean, they are as good as there is in the league as a four-man D-line pass rush group. And they've played very well this year, and they do a lot of different things. Chris Shula has done a lot of things on third down and pure pass situations, the way he moves people around. I mean, last week he had an inside stunt where Verse was a stand-up player, and you might have seen the play where he just ran through the center. I mean, he is as strong as there is. I mean, he can do that to tackles. Now, he may not do it to Trent Williams, who's, you know, obviously a first ballot Hall of Famer, but the point is those guys are physical, they're fast, they're aggressive, they're a very high percentage stunting team, and that becomes mental for the offensive line as much as it is physical. But they stunt maybe as much as any team in the league, and they're very multiple with their stunt concept. Just so people know what that means, is that means that there is a guy who penetrates, and then there's someone who goes and loops around him. So they do that with multiple guys and in different situations, and it's very, very hard to defend.
And I'm thinking about last week against Jacksonville, where Kyle Shanahan dialed up a couple of pressure beaters, the shovel pass for the touchdown, the screen to Tonjes. When you look at those plays, are they the types of things that will apply against an aggressive defense like the Rams?
I mean, I think that those kinds of things, you know, I mean, ultimately, the bottom line is this. I think the key in a game like this, to me, is what you do in normal down and distance situations. What I'm going to say is not profound here, because every coach thinks like this, but this is a team you really need to stay, particularly where the Niners are right now in this given season, at this moment, they really need to stay at a third and long. So to me, first down, second down are really important downs. If you can't stay somewhat ahead of the sticks, it's going to be hard to play against this defense. Now, the one thing I would say normally, but it may not be the case because of who the Niners are going to line up at receiver, is their corners are beatable players. But, you know, we'll see, you know, with who they're going to put out there. Because what do you have? Kendrick Bourne. I assume they'll play Valdes-Scantling.
Robinson.
DeMarcus Robinson. You know, he's a guy, wherever he goes, DeMarcus Robinson seems to do well.
Yep.
But you know, now let me ask you a question. Is Jacob Cowing available, or is he still injured?
Not available yet. Yeah, he's not even on the injury report because I think he's still on IR, to be honest with you. Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, again, I think most teams would look at the Rams defense and say the corners are beatable, exploitable players because it's Forbes, it's Williams, and it's Durant on the outside. I love their safeties. I mean, Kitchens and Curl. Curl's a really good player. Quentin Lake is one of the most overlooked, really good football players in this league for what he is asked to do in the context of that defense. And their dime player, Jalen McCullough, is a really good player too.
Greg, I'm certainly not saying the Niners can replicate it, but what did the Eagles do in the second half of their game against the Rams, against that defense that was working so well?
They threw the ball outside the numbers to A.J. Brown, who was one-on-one with the corners. That's how they predominantly move the ball in the pass game. Because in that game, and by the way, it's the only half this year where the Eagles' pass game has looked any good, but in the second half of that game, Hurts was 17 for 24 for 209 yards. And a lot of those, in third down critical situations, he just went outside the numbers to A.J. Brown, who can beat any corner. So that's why I'm saying that they're beatable on the perimeter. The question is, you know, the Niners don't necessarily play that way, though. That's not sort of, I'm not saying they would never play that way because you never know what a coach is going to do, particularly when he's lacking his normal players. But, you know, normally they're not a team that works outside the numbers. They, you know, their pass game tends to work more inside between the numbers. Those are tougher throws. And, you know, that's why, you know, Purdy is, you know, when he's on and the offense is humming, those are hard throws and he makes them. But, you know, again, you make those throws normally when you're ahead of the sticks and you can dictate how you get to those routes.
And in the game against Jacksonville, too often, you're right, they were behind the sticks getting 1 or 2 yards on first down. And you've mentioned, Greg, before that they run a lot of tight to the line formations, and against a Ram defense that will stunt a lot, is that, looking at the film, something that could be problematic for the 49ers against a very athletic defense up front?
You know, this is something that I always think about with coaches when I watch tape. You know, all coaches have tendencies and staples. I mean, that's just because what I hear a lot from coaches is coaches coach against coaches. You know, unless there's just a dynamic, unbelievable, transcendent player, and there's very few of those guys in the league, coaches coach against coaches. They know what the coaches are going to do in given situations. So, you know, so the balance for a coach is, how much can I tweak realistically during a season versus how much do we try to get better at what we do well? And in a short week, it's not likely that you're going to see dramatic changes. I mean, teams don't even usually practice in a short week because players are, you know, are hurting from the game on Sunday. So it's more classroom work. It's more meetings. It's not really practice. So I don't know how much their offense can look different against this defense, given that it's a short week and they're going to be playing with backup wide receivers.
Greg Cosell, NFL Films. Greg, I think you sort of already answered this with the way you talked about the Niner run game earlier in this conversation, but can we focus just on Christian McCaffrey for a second? There are a lot of people here wondering, does he look, you know, kind of fully like himself? I know it's been a tough run as far as the hand he's been dealt with what's going on in front of him, but how does he look to you on tape?
Well, I mean, I guess when he made Kaiser on the 8-yard touchdown reception grab at air, I guess he probably looked okay. So, I mean, exactly. Are we gonna, you know, again, this is one of those conversations, guys. Are we gonna like start evaluating every single run? And not you guys. I'm just talking. You know, I hope you understand that. Sure. You know, we're gonna sit here and say, oh, gee, on that run, he didn't look great. Oh well, no, that run he looked pretty good. I mean, you know, I can't get caught up in that. I mean, to me, he looks fine. I don't watch him and go, oh, my God, this guy looks really slow, or he just doesn't look to. I mean, you know, when he made Kaiser grab at air and then scored a touchdown, I kind of felt like that kind of looked like Christian McCaffrey.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Didn't he look like Christian McCaffrey to you on that?
Yeah, he did. The other one, too, is on the hook and lateral where Ricky gets it and flips it to Christian, and he was able to get to the edge, get to the corner.
And he showed burst on that.
Yeah.
He showed total burst. You know, it's funny. Sometimes backs, and I haven't necessarily noticed this with McCaffrey because I don't think he thinks like this, but every once in a while, backs, I've noticed this with Saquon Barkley this year, for instance. Sometimes when backs can't find space in the normal path, you know, the way the run is designed, sometimes they start looking and groping and searching. Okay. And Barkley has a tendency to do that. I don't think McCaffrey does, because if you notice, he does get hard yards. It might be 2 yards, but he gets hard yards. You know, he doesn't necessarily look to bounce or to run away from people. He kind of hits it up in there and gets whatever he can. And like I said, it may only be 2 yards or 3 yards, because I think he's only averaging what, like 3.1 or 3.3, you know. But, you know, he doesn't look to do other things. It's just not clean, and there's no space. But I don't think he looks any different than I would expect him to look. I think he looks fine.
Greg, I want to go back to your previous comment about how coaches coach against coaches. And these two, they know each other so well. They came up together and obviously now coach against each other at least twice a year. So in the past, when this matchup happens, what do you normally see them do? Do they kind of go bread and butter, or do you often see them trying to, I don't know, show some new colors because they know that the other coach knows them so well?
I mean, I can't think about every play, but sure, I think these coaches are pretty much do what they do. I mean, again, I don't want to sit here and say that they never do anything different. I, you know, again, you'd have to evaluate every single play and break down and go back years, you know, but, you know, well, I'll give you an example, for instance. Here's, you know, Puka Nacua. I think most people would probably say he's a really good receiver.
Yep.
Do you know that Puka Nacua has 50 targets this year, and only one time was he the single receiver to whatever side of the field he is on? He is never the single receiver, meaning he's never the boundary X, the single receiver to the short side of the field, which is normally the receiver everybody thinks is the top receiver on a team. The guy that is the single receiver to the short side of the field. He's always on a multiple receiver side. He's the motion guy. He's a great player, but he's very scheme based in the Sean McVay offense. And McVay knows exactly how to use him. Look, it's like Juwan Jennings when he's healthy. Okay. Juwan Jennings came out of Tennessee. He ran like a 4.74. Pretty much everybody thought there's no way this guy could play in the NFL. But when he's healthy, he fits this offense and exceptionally well for how he's deployed. You know, if you asked him to be a boundary X and have to win one-on-one against big-time corners every single week, he's probably not that guy. You know, and this is where coaching comes in, understanding how to deploy your players to maximize their traits and minimize their limitations. So again, I can't sit here and say, gee, McVay's has done this and it's different, or Kyle's done this and it's different. I truly can't answer that, guys. But teams, these coaches know how to deploy their players.
Greg, great stuff as
awesome,
always.
Yep.
Yeah, we're looking forward to tomorrow night and then breaking it down with you next Wednesday.
Yeah, you know, it should be a fun one to watch. I mean, you know, maybe I'm a little different than you guys. I'm just hoping for a good competitive game that I can enjoy watching.
I think Niner fans agree with you this time. Like, if you could have a close game in the fourth quarter, we'd be thrilled.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, I obviously talking to you guys, it's always more fun when they win, or maybe who knows, you know, but we'll see what happens. Look, they're 3-1. I mean, it's not like they're a bad football team.
Yeah, not the end of the world. So what I hear you say is take the Niners and the points. Thank you, Greg.
Hey, I've never bet on a sporting event in my life. I don't even follow that stuff. I don't even know what that means.
Is that true? You've never done it once? Like, not even with
never
a friend?
Never once. And I don't play fantasy football. None of that stuff interests me.
All right, we just had Al Michaels on, who has never eaten a vegetable. So a couple of nevers back-to-back.
Never eaten a vegetable in his life?
And he says Puka Nacua hasn't either.
Wow.
How about that, Greg?
You get see that on film.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, well, I can't say that I've never eaten a vegetable or a cheesesteak, you know, or anything like that. But, you know, hey, that's the way it goes.
Next time you see Puka Nacua go over the middle, I want you to think about that for a minute. No carrots, Greg.
So what does he eat?
I don't know, other stuff. Steak?
He eats DBs for lunch is what he eats.
Perfect. All right, Greg.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks as always.
Thank you.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.